Hi, Mike.
Can you
Hi,
hear me?
Mike. Yeah, there. Now I can. You were muted. Did the login work?
I just went to the email you sent me there.
Yeah, and then I saw you and I promoted you to panelist. So you'll be it just like all the everybody on the committee is a panelist as well.
Okay.
Now, did you have any need to share your screen or anything? Or do you think we'll just because I can pull up the materials myself.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I
That
don't.
should be fine. Because
Yeah.
then if you do need to share your screen, then I gotta switch you to co-host. So it's
What is share your screen? What does that mean?
that's like if you have something pulled up on your computer that you
No,
want the group to see something on your computer.
I don't think so.
Okay, because I have the agenda on my computer, and so I'll just plan on just sharing my screen, and we can maybe scroll through the federal stuff.
Okay.
So yeah, it should be good. Yeah, we've been it's a whole new airport committee this year.
Look like, yeah.
Yeah, all the real technical people are gone, Nancy Tosta and Debbie Wagner and stuff. And so it's kind of a newer group, and they're really just learning a lot this year. So every meeting we've been having kind of different presentations. And so, obviously this meeting is more on federal legislation and, what's happening there. So,
Right.
yeah, it's kind of a different focus that we're
Yeah.
seeing.
Good.
So, yeah. And then we always have Dave Kaplan from the Port of Seattle joins in, and we always just promote him to panelists too, so he can be part of the discussion.
Okay. Knows more than I do.
And yeah, and everybody kind of squeals in about 1 minute too, so.
So I'm just going to go over the airport stuff here, right? Not all this other stuff.
Yeah, I think just the airport. I know they've talked about like climate stuff before, but I think that was more, just trying to understand how the two might connect.
Yeah.
And then I know like we had a one of our city staff did a presentation on our climate action plan, and I think it was pretty clear that you can't really include a lot of airport stuff in it because we have no control over the airport, and that our plan was more things the city could control.
Yeah.
So I think they picked up on that after that presentation.
Okay.
But, and I don't know, have some of these legislative things like coordinate with the Port of Seattle's legislative stuff?
A little bit.
A little bit, okay.
We did in the past. This is kind of a, this year we're sort of amending what we've already done. Yeah, there's some stuff in here they probably have.
Yeah, and I'm sure Dave, if he, which he usually joins in, can say any something if he feels like it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a pretty friendly group.
Good.
How has the pandemic and working remotely been going for you?
Oh, fine. I'm mostly retired, so I don't really go into other things anymore.
So then it's kind of like, oh, it actually might have worked okay for you then, just
It's
having to
fine.
log in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. At first I was like, oh gosh, I miss going in. And then you kind of get used to working at home, and I swear, I think I get more done at home sometimes.
Well, I'm used to it. I've been doing it forever, so.
Yep.
Sophia.
Hello, Councilmember Aragon. Hi, Karen.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I hear you guys talking about working from home. I love it, too.
Do you?
Yeah. A lot of other people do, too, apparently.
Pardon me?
I said a lot of other people do, too. They don't want to go back to work.
Yeah.
Well, I would love to hear a little bit how that works for you, Mike.
Oh, I was just asking him that. Yeah.
I've been on my own like this since the 1990s. So mm-hmm. I haven't been going into an office per se, well, for a long time.
Oh, you know, my head jumped right into how do you do your work virtually given COVID? How's that going?
Well, it's just different. You know, it's like everybody else. It's a lot of phoning and emailing and texting and stuff.
Uh-huh.
It's fine.
Sounds like you've adapted.
Well, yeah, all the congressional staff have been working at home for the last year or more anyway. Mm-hmm. So you can't really visit them anyhow.
Well, and I noticed that legislative staff have a healthy turnover too. So to start in that role virtually would be extra interesting.
They do have a healthy turnover. That's very true.
Okay. Hello, Holly.
Hello.
Javier's here. Oh,
yeah, would you like me to promote Dave Kaplan to panelists so he's with the rest of us?
Sure, sure.
Okay, I know. Hope you don't mind, Dave.
I don't see Dave on my screen. That's kind of interesting, though.
Because he logs in as a guest.
Oh, I see.
And then I have to do a couple clicks to move him over to like panelist.
Okay.
Well, there he is. He's almost feels like he's part of the committee.
Sometimes.
Depends how many times he puts you on the hot spot, right?
You know, yeah. It goes with the territory. So
there you go.
How's everybody doing this evening?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good.
Excellent.
And I had an email from Stephen. He is not going to make it tonight.
Okay.
Had something else going on.
Great. So we're waiting for Brian, but do we have quorum, Lori?
Let's see. We got 1, 2, 3, 4. I think, don't we have 9? I think we need one more.
Okay. Hi, Councilmember Schilling.
Hello.
Is Brian.
Is anybody else watching Only Murders in the Building?
What channel is that on?
I love it.
Channel? Come on, Sophia. It's on Hulu.
Oh, okay. I'm not on Hulu that much. See, I depend on other people to tell me what to watch. Isn't that terrible? Oh. Then I'll know.
Did some other people say they're watching it? Who said they're watching it?
I'm watching it. Karen.
Oh, great.
I just watched the finale today. Oh my gosh.
No spoilers.
Yeah, no spoilers. Okay, what's the title again? I'm looking for a new show.
Only Murders in the Building. And it's with Steve Martin and Martin Lawrence. Martin Short.
Okay, so is this a comedy?
Yeah.
Kind of.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a comedy. Yeah.
Pause. Big pause.
It's a mystery.
Okay, good. I need suggestions. I just finished a really great book called Boys in the Boat. Has anyone read that?
Yes.
I think that is one of my favorite books of all time.
I think the boat's hanging in the shell house at UW.
You know, and when I was there, I bet you I saw it and I didn't know the significance of that.
It's hanging from the ceiling.
Well, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
All right. We're still waiting for one more.
No, I think we have five. So okay, I think we're good. Yep.
Okay. Great. So why don't we start with roll call? And Lori, can you help with that, please?
Sure. So Council Member Aragon.
Present.
Mayor Mata. Not there. Council Member Schilling.
Present.
Holly.
Present.
Savannah. Javier.
Present. Yep.
Okay. And Stephen emailed that he would be gone tonight. So we have him excused. Jeff. Oh, yeah. No, Jeff. Mm-hmm. Karen.
Present.
And City Manager Wilson. Okay.
Okay, great. I feel like I'm missing someone on my screen. I have Holly, Karen, Javier, and who's our other person? Am I missing someone, Lori? Holly, Karen, Javier? Let's see.
Javier. So the five we have is yourself, Council Member Schilling.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think, yep, they're there.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Okay, and so... And our guests, we have Dave as a panelist. And do we have other guests, Lori?
We have Mike Doubleday, who is our federal relations person to help us go through our federal legislative priorities.
Okay, wonderful. Okay, so I'll commence the meeting of the Burien Airport Committee. And has everyone had the chance to review the agenda? And if so, I'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
I'm looking to approve the agenda.
Okay, thank you. Karen moves and Holly seconded. And has everyone had a chance to review the minutes?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I move to approve the minutes.
All right, thank you. And do we have a second? Thank you, Karen. So Holly approved and moved and Karen seconded. And so let's jump into the business agenda. And so we'll start with Mark Doubleday, who is going to review our 2022 federal legislative priorities for Burien.
Okay. I don't see, is my picture supposed to be on there, Lori, or no?
Here, I'm sharing my screen right now.
Oh, okay, I see. Okay. Right, so everybody should have, this is a copy of a draft that I wrote for the 2022 federal legislative agenda for Burien. It's on Brian's recommendation. I took last year's agenda and made some amendments to it. Mm-hmm. So that's what this is. It's longer than I like to have it, but I gave up a while ago on trying to keep it short. So because people have things they want to add and so forth. So what I'll do is, I mean, I think it's better to have kind of a discussion than me talking to people forever here, but let me just run through this fairly quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And we can have a discussion. There's also another piece, Lori, it's not on the screen, but it's a one pager on some language that I was sent to by congressional staff that may be in the larger infrastructure bill. We can get to that in a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Can you enlarge this a little bit?
Yeah, Mike? Thank you. That was just what I was going to ask. Make that bigger. Keep going for some of us.
Thank you. So I'm going to hop down here to the reduce airport noise and emissions there. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I've done in the past, we've worked with these various entities. And so what I did was I added this committee, I added the START committee. And then I took out the first bullet with the ombudsperson working on these issues. And I took that out, one, to shorten the agenda, and two, because I had some feedback that maybe wasn't necessary, or we weren't getting a lot out of things the ombudsperson. So I took it out. If that's not correct, then we can put it back in.
Just for clarification, Mike, there still is an ombudsman, right?
There is. Brian, I forget his, Brian knows his name. He works at the, I think he works over at the FAA.
Yeah, it's Justin Biasu. And so he has been a regular participant in the START meetings. So, and he has been representing the, certainly FAA with our START participation.
Okay, thank you.
The second bullet I just kept, which is the part 150, this is a federal regulation. It's a noise study. These are done by SeaTac. And my information, and maybe it's wrong, Dave or somebody else can correct me. The last one was in 2002, perhaps. And I think it looked forward, but it's been a while since one of those was done. So we had this in the agenda, and I thought we, as long, unless there's other information from START or this committee, I would just keep it in there.
Mm-hmm. And this question is for Brian and Mike, and just in case other committee members have this, can you give like a really short description of a Part 150 study, what it does?
Are you better at that than I am, Brian?
Well, you know, I did, you know, I believe it just talks about the noise levels and, you know, and it is, I'm not as familiar with the study, but I am in terms of process. I believe it is a priority for the FAA. It's also been a priority for the Port of Seattle. They have expressed an interest in having this study completed following the SAMP efforts. I don't know if Dave wants to comment a little bit about the specifics of what a Part 150 would entail.
Yeah, thanks. The Part 150 program, it's part of the FAA authorization that's been around for a long time. The Port of Seattle first adopted a Part 150 program, a noise mitigation program, back in 1985. It's been updated a couple times since. The last time was 2014, 2015, and the next one will be done after completion of the SAMP. They use the noise metrics to measure the noise around the aircraft, but it's not single event measurements. It's run through the algorithm that they have that measures it. It defines footprints of the noise by decibels, and there's different mitigation within each of those footprints. The largest footprint for mitigation of some type is the 65 DNL, in which those homes and places of worship, whether single family home or multifamily home, are eligible for to be considered for noise mitigation. Trying to think what the last thing, and the commission has been pushing for the better part of the last year and a half to try and expedite the noise mitigation required under the last Part 150, the 2014-2015. And that includes a number of apartment buildings in the area. I know there's some condominiums in Des Moines that have recently been done or undergoing the noise mitigation. And there are some houses of worship that are also within that. And the commission has basically been fronting the money and then the FAA getting reimbursed. The port used to have to ask the federal government for the money and then would go forward with it. But that changed a number of years ago. So the port's been prioritizing using our own money to try and move the program forward and complete the mitigation for those structures that are within the current Part 65 DNL footprint.
Okay, great.
Okay, so then I stand corrected. It wasn't 02, it was, I guess, 2014 was the most recent update then.
Okay, any questions from the committee about the Part 150 study?
Maybe Chair, if I could just make a comment, you know, this is a really important piece of study that will that there's a tremendous amount of interest in, specifically the footprint of the 65 DNL, and given the fact that, you know, there's quite a few opinions about the health impacts, you know, even if you were to compare the World Health Organization study and the 45 DNL, what that footprint would look like, and this issue between single event noise and multiple, you know, aircrafts over time, and how these algorithms are put together to identify that particular area. This study is going to be very important in terms of trying to identify impacts to communities, but also how, what steps are necessary to mitigate those impacts.
Okay. Thanks, Brian. That's helpful.
Hi, this is Karen. I want to ask, what are you talking about when you talk about mitigating the noise? What are you actually doing something to the, I just don't understand, doing something to the houses, insulating them? Can you explain to me what you mean when you mitigate the affected air, the affected buildings?
So you're correct in terms of one option could be to have greater insulation, you know, noise insulation that could mitigate the impacts of that noise. There's also, you know, zoning that can occur similar to what happened with the development of NERA, which is the Northeast Redevelopment Area, where that area was rezoned that was north of the third runway on the construction. And so that was, the use of that was changed from some single family to commercial. And you'll see some of that development that's occurred in Burien. But again, combining with noise and, you know, and certainly with some of the information we've had about health impacts too, this study, those are some examples of types of mitigation that can to mitigate the impacts of the growth and the noise that's generated from the airport.
Okay. I think too, I can just add, I think, you know, longer term, the FAA and others are looking at quieter engines. That may take a little while to get here, but I know that's sort of in the queue to be worked on.
Okay. And thank you for that information. I want to clarify something that Dave mentioned, and that it sounds like there were mitigation, or there are findings from a previous Part 150, and we're still trying to address recommended mitigation. Is that what I heard correctly, Dave?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
When the program, and the program has undergone different changes over the years. For example, the FAA would only provide funding for single family homes and not apartments and condominiums. And after the second Part 150, around that time, the FAA changed it to allow for testing of condominiums, apartments, and mobile homes. It did no benefit to mobile homes, so those were dropped as for consideration. Apartments and condominiums, though, did well. And so the FAA agreed to that the money could be used for multifamily as well as single family. So the program has undergone changes over time. Mm-hmm. In terms of what's provided for, and Brian's correct. It the mitigations are depending upon how close to the airport and which noise footprint it's in, whether it's in 70 DNL or 75 DNL. Those get bought out. Those between 65 and 70 DNL are closer in, that did not get bought out, are mitigated with noise deadening windows and insulation predominantly. And it has to achieve a reduction from 65 to at least 45. So when they go out, they actually do measurements of each structure to find out whether or not the noise inside exceeds 45. Otherwise, there's no benefit to the home for doing the work. So 65 is a qualifying threshold, and then they actually have to go out and check each individual home. And it's for homes that were built prior to 1987, 86 or 87.
Okay. And 65, is that, what is the unit there? Is that decibels or?
It's decibels based upon the algorithm that they run through to determine what that, I don't want to say average because that's not quite accurate. It's like a weighted average. So.
Okay. So just a little more follow-up question. So it sounds like the program after the second part 150 in 2014 and 2015, the program was expanded to include more types of housing. And we're still trying to address that. How so? Is that because does that include funding not being available since they got included? What does it mean to catch up to that?
Okay, so what happened originally was you had to ask the FAA for the money to do the work.
Okay.
Now the port is fronting the money, so things are moving ahead quicker.
Okay.
So in other words, we're going back and asking for reimbursement after the fact rather than relying on getting the federal appropriations so we get the money to be able to do the work. That was the biggest challenge. The federal government would only provide so much amount of money to be able to do the work. So you could only do so many homes or so many apartments or whatever. And we wanted to get through the homes. There's still a few homes that are left. And there are a handful of apartment buildings that are left. And then I think it's 7 houses of worship.
Okay. And they all are aware and pursuing mitigation for their structures?
Not all want it.
Oh.
They do have to sign an abrogation agreement, basically acknowledging the fact that planes are flying over their home and that they won't sue. So that it's an air rights easement in exchange for the work being done. And the FAA requires that.
Okay. But they've all been outreached.
Yes. And what happens over time, you know, someone sells their house, somebody else buys it, the new owner may be more inclined to take advantage of it than the previous one. So we're constantly reaching out. I think I don't know if it's annually or every other year we do reach out. So.
Okay. All right, thank you. Does anyone else have questions around this topic? Hi, Mayor Mata. Thanks for joining us. Okay, sorry, Mike, we're only on bullet 2.
Okay. So we'll go through this here. Okay, so the next here, the top of the next page, I've added in 3 bills here to support. Let me just say at the outset that these single bills like this on specific ideas and issues like this tend not to pass by themselves. They tend to get put into some larger bill because it's just so hard to get things passed, and they usually put them in something that's going to move anyway. But these are Adam Smith bills. These are also co-sponsored by Congresswoman Jayapal, but Smith is the co-sponsor, the lead sponsor. And just quickly, the first one was a last year bill, a March 2020. It's the aviation impacted communities, and just very generally, it would allow a community like this to establish a board of folks around the community and some other officials. There'd be an action plan that would be put together, and then the FAA would have to address that and mitigate it. I was hoping some of this language would go into one of the infrastructure bills, but I don't think it has. And then the next one is also from Representative Smith. This is the ultrafine particles bill, which I think is also being addressed by the University of Washington at the state level. This is more of a study bill to look at ultrafine particles and their effect on health. And Seattle is one of the nine cities that's put in the bill that has to be studied. And then eventually from that, hopefully there would be some mitigation as well. And then the third bill is an aviation EPA grants bill. This is also by Representative Smith. Has not been introduced that I'm aware of, at least not recently. This is an effort by him to get the EPA into this whole noise emissions area and not just the FAA. I think it's a real good idea. And so wanted to put this in here and hopefully he will introduce it and we can maybe try to get it put in some other bills we go along. The last two in the red, of course, is I should have said this at the outset, is new stuff. The next bullet is just this noise study by the FAA. This, and I'll get to this in a second, why the ones at the bottom have been crossed out, but this came from 2018 bill on the FAA. And below we said we wanted those to be done. Now they're being in the process of being done, and this is the first one. So this, I don't know exactly when this is due. I guess it's due when it's done, but this is a noise review, and they're talking about whether or not the studies we've just talked about, the 55 DNL, is the appropriate threshold for noise tolerance. And then the last one here is they're working on the aviation greenhouse gas emission reduction plan. And this is, I think you had a presentation by Ascent maybe not too long ago from Wazoo. They may be involved. This has to do with fuels, alternative fuels. They're less polluting. And there's also a part of this study that talks about, you know, deprivation for sleep and health and that kind of stuff. So, I'll just quickly finish this. So the bottom part here that I crossed out, the first and the third bullet, where there's the bullets that aren't filled in, those bullets are addressed in that second in this low. I'm just kind of pointing to the screen, but the lowest red, the new language, that's the greenhouse gas emission reduction plan. So I took that out and kind of revised it in there. And then the last bullet at the bottom is the alternative metric one. That was a letter, and that's in the bullet above. That's not confusing everybody. And then the one bullet that I took out in the middle there is the public use, the six public use airports to establish, you know, mitigation projects. That is done by the airports. It's done by SeaTac. Maybe Dave can speak to that. That was in the 18 bill, the FAA reauthorization act. And I don't know where that stands, but in an effort to try to limit this a little bit, I just kind of took that out, and maybe that's not appropriate, but that's what I did. So are there, there's a little bit else to talk about. If there's questions about any of that stuff. Mm-hmm.
So Mike, you just went over the airport specific legislation that's out there that we need to know about.
Right.
So I just want to turn to the committee and give a chance for folks to talk about whatever stands out to them with what just Mike just went over. So just want to invite Kevin or Holly or Karen. Anything that stands out to you in this legislation that Mike just reviewed?
I had one question about this. So there's one aspect, which is the comprehensive noise review, which I think is very interesting, right? Because if that number of 65 DNL was moved lower, that would have an impact, you know, in a lot of other things later, right? So I'm wondering, you know, what could possibly be done in order to support this? You know, is there a letter that can be written? You know, is there something that can be done to somehow, you know, support you know, basically representative Adam Smith's, you know, legislation.
Mm-hmm. Javier, can you repeat which one stood out to you? Is it 6038?
Yeah, so okay. There's, I think it's the fourth bullet point in the screen. It's basically okay. The comprehensive examination of the 65 DNL level, noise number.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Brian or Mike, do you have suggestions?
Well, I guess what I would say, I don't know if this is being done by Wazoo or by MIT or others. What we could do, I suppose, if we were so inclined, is, or this committee could send a letter to whoever the lead study group is on this, and kind of outlining the impacts at this 65, you know, decibel level in this area around SeaTac, and advocating for something that would be lower and more appropriate.
Yeah, I would add to Mike's comments as well. And I do believe there are efforts to really, I think it by the FAA as well, to review the appropriateness of that 65 DNL. Is that the appropriate number? And if it is lower, similar to what was done with the World Health Organization, what impact does that have, you know, pertaining to health, environment, you know, and noise? And so I think it's important for us to, you know, support efforts in that regard.
Okay. Thanks, Brian, for that suggestion. Mayor Mata, do you have anything on this list that stands out to you? Oh, we can't hear you.
Can you hear me now? There we go.
There we go. Yep.
Okay, perfect. Well, I think if some of this legislation as we just currently spoke about, Aviation Impact of Community Act 6038, we can send letters out to Adam Smith and from Pramila Jayapal. I don't know if she's going to sign on this time around. I know that it died, but there is a website where we can continue to, as community members, send letters. Now, we also could, as a suggestion of this body, a suggestion of this committee members, send a directive to the council to send a letter of support, just so it's on our letterhead. It is our something that's been brought to us as a federal priority. But we also could have an action item as if everybody's on board or believes that some of this legislation is very important, then we can make sure that the council passes a letter. And then, you know, we can also, you know, direct through a vote of, you know, that this becomes something that we can have our city manager get on top of. So,
okay.
We can set up a meeting with, you know, the sponsors of the bill.
Okay.
Great. That's all I have to say.
Okay. Thank you.
I just have some clarification. Are these four separate bills, or they are all under the 406A? Are they all under one bill?
Well, I think there's a couple of bills. Those, the two that have the numbers there, 6038 and 4068. There's a bill without a number from Representative Smith, the third one there, because he hasn't introduced it yet.
Okay.
Those other two bullets on the red are FAA kind of studies, I guess, or reviews that are going on. And the FAA is, I think, kicked those to the centers of excellence, which is led by Wazoo and MIT. And then there's a number of other universities around the country that are involved. So I don't know who specifically is doing those reviews and those studies. I think we could probably find that out, but I don't know offhand who it is.
Because I would be interested in that noise tolerance study as we were talking about the 65 decibels and whether that's appropriate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Does Dave know anything about this, Dave Kaplan? not to put you on the spot, but up there.
Regarding which piece?
Well, the FAA noise policy review that they're undergoing at this point, I'm told.
I know that the FAA reviewed the whether or not, as part of the FAA reauthorization bill in 2018, they were required to take a look at and review the re-examine noise metrics and whether the day-night average sound level was appropriate metric or not. And they came back and basically said, and I believe it was back in April of this year, came back and said, we can't find another metric that would be adequate to being, you know, accurately measuring noise. The General Accounting Office came out with their report basically questioning that. They had started a study a year ago, I believe it was June of 2020, looking at the FAA's use of the 65 DNL noise metric. And they came back and basically said, you can do better than just saying no, that there is, that there should be a way to measure it. Others have done it. You should be able to do it as well. And then I know in the fiscal year 2022 U.S. House Transportation Appropriation Bill, there was funding to push the FAA along on changing the metric. Yes. So there's been a number of different efforts.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, there's been a number of different efforts. I don't know what form it's going to take. In fact, I just went back and looked at the STARTS federal advocacy tracking, and the topic is on there, but the last that I saw was that the GAO report had come out. So I don't know what the next steps are, but continuing to advocate for that change seems like a rational way to go.
Yeah, Dave, where I got this was I looked at the House Appropriations budget notes for 2022, I think was what you're referring to. It's online, you can all look at it. And they talked about this. They said, after publishing the results of a nationwide survey on aircraft noise annoyance, the FAA is undertaking a comprehensive noise policy review, which includes, but is not limited to, a reexamination of noise metrics. So I took it from that, and it's on my list to contact the committee staff on that. But my understanding is that's what they're doing, or they wouldn't have put it in there.
Yeah, I think there's still an expectation on the part of Congress that they're going to do more than just a cursory look. So,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Dave. And Holly or Councilmember Schilling, anything you want to share with us that stand out to you in this package of legislation related to aviation that we're just discussing?
Yes, I had a question about the mitigation program. So I understand that property owners must sign essentially an air rights easement in order to take advantage of the program if it's offered to their property. Would this package be offered to successive property owners in case the first one declines the easement so that there's other opportunities for this property to be mitigated?
Yes, that's what I was saying before, where someone may, a prior owner may have turned down the insulation, the mitigation package, because they didn't want to sign the abrogation agreement. The successive owner could, yes. The only caveat in that is that the footprint from each Part 150 has changed, right? Back in 1985, you had 727s and noisier aircraft, DC-9s still flying. As with each successive Part 150, the footprint has shrunk because you have overall quieter aircraft, a lot more quieter aircraft, but quieter aircraft. So But a successive property owner that's within the current 65 DNL will be solicited to see if they want their home insulated or not.
Mm-hmm. And Dave, where does this question or option come up for buyers or owners? Is it when before a transaction of sale? Is it disclosed somewhere early that this is an option? How does someone know?
How does someone know
that they have an option to apply for mitigation?
The mitigation goes with the property. So we approach the property owners that have not said yes yet, that were within the footprint, that are within the 65 DNL footprint.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And it sounds like you do that when you're somehow there's a flag that a piece of property is on sale in this area and they're on a list to approach. Is that how it goes?
It's not flagged for when the property sells immediately. Again, there's a reach out to the homes, to that same group of homes each year or every other year.
Okay.
So that way a new property owner would get the information.
Okay. Thank you. That's helpful. Okay. All right. Thanks, Holly. Councilmember Schilling, anything stand out for you?
Nope, I'm all good. Everyone's pretty much covered what I was wanting to ask questions on.
Okay, thanks. So I see interest in taking some action on HR 6038 recommended by Mayor Mata for the council to send a letter of support and perhaps meeting with a sponsor. And then it seems like there's lots of interest around the measure of the 65 DNL and the appropriateness. So is there, Mike, some clarification about who we send that to? Because you said that the FAA sent that to either WSU or MIT. Do we need to find that out first? Who would this be addressed to?
I don't know. Let me contact committee staff to make sure this is happening and who was leading it, or if it's kind of an amalgam, and then we'll find, and I'll get back to you and do that.
Okay.
There was one other piece, council member, just quickly, that's just a one page. Lori, if it's still there somewhere, that this was it was different than the agenda. It was the other attachment here. It's simply language. Yeah, there it is. No, that's not it. It's language that was sent to me from a staff person who was in Smith's office, now in Senator Murray's office, and it's language that is supposedly in the large. Yeah, if you keep going, it's in here, I think. Yeah, it starts right here. This is language that's supposedly in what was the $3.5 trillion Build Back Better infrastructure bill. I don't know if it's going to survive, but I don't know, no reason why it wouldn't, but because it's not really being objected to, I don't think. But basically, the first one is about $1 billion for sustainable aviation fuels, or SAF. You probably heard that term. The third one is about tax credits for aviation fuel. And the middle one is just something for the ICAO, which is the International Civil Aviation Organization, and sending money to them to implement their kind of carbon reduction. So I just wanted people to know that that was out there. Last thing I'd like to say is that when I started doing this a few years ago, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, full time kind of, these issues were just kind of a blip. And I think Brian would agree with this. And it's and in 5 or 6 years, at least in congressional time, which is a little different than our time, but things have moved along quite a ways. They really have. And especially in the House, the Senate's maybe not quite there, but the House is certainly moving ahead with sustainable fuels, with looking at all these emissions and noise and et cetera, you know, human health issues. And they're writing about it in their budget and they're putting money in it and they're pushing people. And that wasn't happening a few years ago. So we're being heard and it's moving. So thank everybody for their work and pushing this, because it is making a difference.
Well, that's hopeful.
Yes.
That's very hopeful news. Okay. So any questions or reactions to this additional piece of information by committee members? Brian, are you asking generally, are we supporting these? Or I feel like the other sets, it feels like general support from this committee, but is this the same question for these two?
Well, there's three. There's one above
two. Three. Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't see that one.
These are supposedly in the larger $3.5 trillion bill. And I'm in contact with staff, and as far as I know, they're not coming out yet, but hopefully they won't.
And when you say the larger bill, are you talking about the infrastructure bill?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's the smaller one, the trillion one, and then there's the one that's 3.5 or was 3.5. And this is in the larger one, which hasn't passed. Neither one passed, obviously.
It's not in the smaller bill.
I was told it was in the larger bill. Okay. I don't think there's any language in the smaller bill. Mm-hmm. So just to clean up, I'm talking to the full council on Monday night, so on the whole agenda. So if you guys want to send some guidance along, that'd be great.
Okay. So it sounds like, so just to clarify, since you're coming to the council and we would be sharing information then around a recommendation to the council to support HR 6038 to support community members to weigh in on these issues. And then Mr. Mayor, were you talking about meeting with sponsors, the committee meeting with sponsors, or?
Sir, I think that one of the things for Mike, are you bringing, so it looks like one for sure is going to be introduced. Are you saying all four will be introduced with the larger bill?
Well, there's two bills that have been introduced. There's another bill that I'm told is on the way, but hasn't been introduced. And then there's some language in the large infrastructure bill.
So we can definitely get on board with supporting the two bills that have already been introduced, and just, you know, I think have a support from the council if the councils choose to support these two bills. And then for the follow-up, Councilman Verdon, we can either do it, invite the staff of the people that introduced the bill to, you know, continue to ask them what kind of support they need, since the sponsor, their elected official or the elected official sponsoring the bill. So whether it's a particular other congressperson or senator that we need to, you know, call, then I think we would be able to do that as maybe a committee or as a council. So I think that is just, I think if we can just get the council to say that's something we support, and then we can figure out from the city manager what other steps you can take to help us make sure that we're amplifying our support for those two bills.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what one of the goals on the Monday night council meeting is a recommendation by this committee to support HR 6038 and 4068.
City manager, Do you see any pitfalls, anything in just drafting a letter of support in behalf of the council?
No, I don't, Mayor. I think one option would be one is to, you know, because our discussion item on Monday is a study session to present this federal agenda. So to include that on the agenda in terms of what Burien supports is important. And then from there, we can work towards correspondence as to how to support that legislation, who to send that to, and to communicate with to try and get this legislation passed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the rest of the committee, how does that sound? Does that sound like something you support? Thumbs up? Okay. All right. So Monday's study session, we'll be asking the council to write a letter of support for those two bills. And then once we do, a question to the committee is about what else can Burien do to support passage of that legislation. Did I get that right, Mayor Mata?
Yeah, then after that, once we get the letter of support, we'll get the letter of support, and then since the city manager will be part of this committee, then we can figure out if there's something that we can do in between there and then. I think it'll be important specifically because next year is a congressional election year. And so, there's going to be a lot of wanting to hear a committee out that works on the report issues.
Okay. That's a really good point. Thank you. And again, the second part, I just want to make sure people about the appropriateness of the DNL. We still have some questions for Mike to clarify with us about who to reach out to. And Mike, can you also send the GAO report? I'd be interested in seeing that.
Okay.
So, okay. It might inform whatever writing that we do. Okay. So I have one more remaining question around, I think it's the, if you can pull up the legislation, you talked about in the second point, because I think this should be, it would be good to know this for our council meeting. There was about the particulate matter. What's the intersect between what the University of Washington is doing in that bill?
I'm not sure I know the answer. I believe that the UW study is state money. I may know more. And
okay,
there hasn't been a federal ultrafine particle money or legislation money that's been passed. But I think UW is state money.
So I'll just throw that out there. So I'm wondering if we could, because I have some familiarity with that study. We can certainly put it up, call it or recall it. And once we get the support of moving forward by the council, that would be some information we want to add, right, as to why we'd be supported. But I'm wondering if there's a possibility to work with UW on this letter once we get that clearance to support it. What do people think about that idea?
Councilmember Aragon, one additional consideration is there is some study by the FAA that's currently taking place regarding ultrafine particles and the health impact to that. So I think our efforts, even through the SAMP and our information through UW and then also through the ASCENT program, there's, I think, greater study that's being addressed on a federal level of the impacts of health impacts of ultrafine particles. So that was discussed at the last START meeting by the FAA. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's opportunities for us to advocate for continued study and understand the impacts of this on health.
So the difference between the FAA study, though, it's ongoing versus UW has a product and a report and recommendations at this point, right?
That's true. FAA, and there are some still studies going on with UW, and there may be some opportunities for advocacy for further study. And I think there may be some recommendations coming from that to say, here are the areas that we should, the next steps that should be pursued from a study basis. But I know from a federal standpoint, there's quite a bit of work to understand these impacts.
Okay. Well, it sounds like those two things can definitely be addressed and supported and incorporated. Just to clarify, I don't see it as either or. I think the UW's work just adds to the state's interests to support it moving forward.
And I think it'll be really important for us regarding the SAMP as we go forward, which as everyone probably knows, has been postponed to the first quarter of next year.
Okay, great. Okay, good. Well, I feel like we have, I feel prepared for Monday night's meeting so on this topic, so that's great. So just a time check, we have about 7 minutes. What else is on the agenda there, Lori? I think we have a bit. So it looks like the appointment of Deputy Mayor Marks to King County's Joint Aircraft Emissions Technical and Community Task Force. That's an announcement. She was appointed. And so she's another touch point, and perhaps we can discuss with her. We have full agendas this month, or November and also December. So maybe in the beginning of the year, first quarter or something, about how we can coordinate. I'm just putting that out there. Maybe that could be a floating agenda item. And so I just want to make sure, is there anyone here that wants to give public testimony or comment? Nope. Okay. So why don't we have the remaining time to Brian to give us an update on START?
Okay, thank you. Just briefly, the last START meeting was on August 25th, and there were several items that were on the agenda. One was aviation emissions research within the vicinity of airports, the SAMP primer and public process, which was discussed. As everyone probably knows, the port made the decision to extend the time period as opposed to having a draft report submitted in the third quarter of this year. It's been moved, given holidays and timing, to the, I believe, the first quarter of 2022. So we will be prepared to respond to that draft report. There was also a recommendation to extend the comment period. 30 days is required, but we had made a recommendation to extend it to 60 days. And I believe that is going to take place, that the review period will be 6 days or 60 days. There was a federal policy working group, which talked about the EPA grant program and some of the new legislation that's being proposed by Congressman Smith. Talked about the Sustainable Skies Act, which really talks about the sustainable aviation fuel incentives and how important that is to promote that development, to make that pencil, you know, for not only the fuels itself, but the infrastructure to support it. Talked about the jobs plan and how that talks about the infrastructure and climate change, that there is money in that federal legislation, if it does pass, that will address some of these areas, such as noise insulation, sustainable aviation fuels credit, tax credit, and the Healthy Ports Initiative, which is really a pretty exciting program that the Port of Seattle is involved in, talking about environmental justice grants for communities of color. And there's some really pretty good work taking place in that regard. terms of the aviation noise working group, there was, again, some real successes talked about in terms of the aviation noise mitigation of the third runway and how it's utilized. And we continue to see, you know, the FAA seems committed to this, certainly the port, and to try and keep those that third runway from being used between midnight and 5 a.m. There are also some efforts with different airlines who have made, some have made decisions to change aircraft based on this noise program that's taking place at the port, which is really positive. And at the same time, we're seeing an increase in cargo flights, and those are often heavy, loud planes. And so there's efforts between the port and these cargo carriers to try and mitigate the use of their, or change aircraft, and trying to take steps to reduce the noise. The aircraft, there was some discussion about the ground noise study as well. And so that's basically a summary of the last START meeting to August 25th.
Okay. Any questions for Brian?
I want to recognize our two representatives, Jeff Harbaugh, who is part of this, and as well as Diana Smith. Both are newly selected by the council and are representing Burien on the committee with me.
Okay. Thanks, Brian. Okay. All right. Any questions or additional information committee members would like from Brian around his report from START? Okay. Great. So that concludes the agenda, I believe. Lori, did I miss anything?
There, sorry, I was having trouble unmuting myself. Yeah, no, just the only other thing is the future agenda items.
Okay.
So next meeting, we have city staff lined up to do a presentation on the Boulevard Park and Ambom corridor community plans. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know if we should check in with Dave about if he or somebody else from the port can do a presentation on the noise insulation program.
Okay. Please shoot me an email, but I'll be happy to get Stan Shepherd to do a presentation for you.
So for committee members, is that would be something of interest to you to hear?
That'd be great.
Okay, Holly, yes. Okay, and the mayor. Great. And Kevin, I'm assuming you're nodding. Okay.
I am great. Nodding. I'm good.
Okay, thank you. Okay, well, thank you, Lori. So that's a preview, and those community plans are really, it's really vital to have input. So your lens as those who care about the airport issues, make sure that, because there could be lots of comments about the plans coming from this committee, but your lens in this work is going to be something that's unique. And so think about how you would bring that forward. So we've come to the end of our agenda. Thank you so much for another productive meeting. We have some good outcomes from today. And so I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
To adjourn.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, great. All right. Thank you, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Okay. Thanks, Lori.
Thank you. Have a good night.